So every time you weigh something, whether it's coffee or bananas, I'm not sure what you're weighing, you might be doing it in pounds. Well, whatever you're doing, you are unknowingly relying on a global system of measurement that has this long and storied history. That history is about to enter a new chapter. For the first time in more than a century, scientists are about to redefine the kilogram. Here's NPR's Nell Greenfield Boyce.
I wanted to get up close and personal with the kilogram. So I went to Maryland, to the National Institute of Standards and Technology, our nation's premier agency for the science of measurement. In a building there, there's a massive elevator. It takes me down to a basement. I have to put on a hairnet, booties, a white lab coat. Zeina Kaborish unlocks a door to a secure, climate-controlled lab. Only a few keys exist.
Three people have access to this room.
Over in a corner, I see small cylinders of a silver-looking metal. It's actually a platinum-iridium alloy, the sexy, futuristic material of the 19th century. That's when these cylinders were forged. Each cylinder is under two old-fashioned glass bell jars.
So these are our national standard kilograms.
They are exact copies of the official kilogram held in France, a hunk of metal that is kept in a vault outside of Paris. Its weight is the definition of a kilogram, a little over 2 pounds. This piece of metal is simply called the kilogram, or affectionately, Le Grand K. After signing the Treaty of the Meter in 1875, the U.S. got these two copies of it.
That's what we use as the basis of our mass dissemination system in the United States.
Let's say you're in the supermarket and the cashier weighs your bag of apples. You only know the scale is accurate because the state measurement lab checked it using a certified mass. How does the state lab know that its certified masses are the correct weight? Because they sent them here, to Maryland, to be compared to our nation's kilograms. Who else turns to this lab? Pharmaceutical companies, airplane manufacturers, makers of scientific instruments, anybody who needs to make sure their precise measurements aren't out of whack.
It pretty much spans most of the sectors of the U.S. industry.
Our national kilograms occasionally get flown to France to be compared to Le Grand K. I would say they get the white glove treatment, but
we don't touch them. We don't even try to touch them with gloved hands.
Kaborish says the metal artifacts are carefully picked up with a special tool wrapped in filter paper. A tiny scratch in the metal or a fingerprint could throw off the weight. And that is the big problem with basing your entire system on comparing pieces of metal. If Le Grand K gets heavier or lighter, if it absorbs atoms of something from the air, then the definition of the kilogram literally changes. And that theoretically affects every single measurement of mass in the world that is based on it. Scientists believe this has been happening. Le Grand K seems to now weigh slightly less than its official copies, a difference that's like a tiny fraction of the weight of a snowflake. Still, for folks who are really into this stuff, this is disturbing. Maybe some teeny fluctuation won't matter to you when you buy your coffee. But in the world of science, it's a disaster to try to understand reality using measurements that are constantly shifting. So, on November 16th, there will be a vote. The General Conference on Weights and Measures will meet in Versailles. This international group is expected to redefine the kilogram. Kaborish is going just to watch.
It's fantastic. It's great. It's history in the making. We're changing a mass realization system that we've had for 129 years. It's a huge event.
The new kilogram will be based on fundamental, unchanging constants of nature. The speed of light, the vibrations of a cesium atom used to tick off time, and Planck's constant, which is central to quantum physics. Stefan Schlaminger has been working hard at another lab here to make that happen.
I think what we do is here now we finish something that has begun probably before the French Revolution.
Way back in those revolutionary times, Enlightenment thinkers hated the world's hodgepodge of measurement systems, each one based on some random object, like the local Duke's foot. Their radical vision was to create something rational and universal, or as they put it,
for all times, for all people.
The result was the metric system. Its measurement of length, the meter, was already redefined decades ago.
So the meter at some point was also an artifact.
The meter was literally a metal bar in France. Its length was supposed to be 1/10,000,000th of the distance from the North Pole to the equator. Schlominger says as physics advanced, scientists were able to ditch the metal bar and define the meter in terms of unalterable features of the universe.
We just defined the meter as the distance that light travels in 1/300,000,000th of a second. And this is the idea of going from an artifact to a fundamental constant.
Now it's finally the kilogram's turn. Researchers spent years creating an elaborate kind of new scale.
Let's walk inside here.
Schlominger shows me a device the size of a small car with all kinds of shiny metal parts. In the future, to see if a hunk of metal really weighs 1 kilogram, it can just go in here. Schlominger and two of his colleagues are so devoted to redefining the kilogram that they recently had the numbers of Planck's constant tattooed on their bodies. John Pratt shows me his tattooed arm. He says convincing the world to switch to a new kilogram was really hard.
There were plenty of committees and fisticuffs and hemming and hawing on this. So we knew what we were in for. We knew that it was going to be painful. And we all agreed we'd get inked with the number when we got it done.
He expects the vote on Friday to be unanimous, and humanity will finally be free from the unbearable uncertainty of Le Grand K. Nell Greenfield Boyce, NPR News.